If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 15. We're going to look into verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, The Purpose of Christmas. The Purpose of Christmas. 1 Timothy 1, 15. Thus saith the Lord, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. Before we look at that, let's bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand that. Spirit of God, we thank you for indwelling us. We thank you for being our teacher. And Lord, as your word goes out, we thank you for the word, first of all. And as it goes out, I pray, Lord, that it would reach every heart. I pray, God, that we'd all find an application in it that we can use in our life or share with another. And Lord, I pray that where conviction's needed, it would come. Where edification is needed, you would bring that, or even comfort. And I pray also, Lord, if there is one listening who knows not Jesus Christ as Savior, pray, God, that this message, using this message, you would use it to open their ears, that you would use it to make them alive. And I would ask that all. In Christ's name, amen. Our text this morning is written by the Apostle Paul, and it perfectly sums up what Christmas is all about. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Very simple. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Same thing. Jesus came to save sinners. The manger, he was born in a manger. For what reason? So that anybody could go into a barn or wherever he was, a cave even, wherever he was. He came to this world humbly as a child so that anybody can come to him. That's what Christmas is about. Unfortunately today, the lost world, Christmas has nothing to do with the Christ child being the savior of mankind. Christmas and Easter, both of them counterfeited by the world to hide God and to bring out anything but God. Their Christmas, for those who reject Jesus Christ, their Christmas is made up of a pinch of truth, a cup of tradition, and a pound of wild imagination. They take the Christ out of Christmas and replace him with Santa and a group of elves. And of course, there are the 9 flying reindeers to get Santa around the world in one night so he can leave presents for every human being. If you can imagine that. You know, Romans 1:21, when I think about Christmas, the way the world celebrates it, I really go to Romans 1:21. Paul writes there that those who knew God refused to worship him. He said, For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Isn't that true of today? Isn't that true of how the world celebrates Christmas? They actually celebrate it. And Easter as well. If you move down in Romans 1 to verse 23, he also tells us what they did. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man. Well, there's Santa. And birds and animals, there's the reindeer, and creepy things. I can relate that passage directly to Santa Claus and his reindeer. Now, as a deer hunter, I could relate it to something else, but I won't. Those verses in Romans make it clear. The Christmas the world celebrates is nothing more than a pagan holiday. That's all that it is. They stripped Christ out of it, and they put in this merry old gentleman with You know the story. And his reindeer, and that's their Christmas. But you know something that's really interesting? 150 years ago, it was a lot different in America. 150 years ago, people understood that Christmas was about Jesus Christ's birth. They understood that. They celebrated that. There was faith in America. I mean, biblical faith in America. But the problem is America forgot. They forgot that Christmas is not a holiday. It's a spiritual event. That's the difference. People who celebrate that way, they can't grasp the idea that Christmas is about man's salvation and the love, joy, hope, and peace that comes with it. They can't grasp that idea. They don't want to grasp, I suppose. 1 Corinthians 2:14 explains why they can't understand that. For the natural man discerneth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And then it says, neither can he know them. They don't understand. They can't understand. Their minds are corrupted to God. And I think it's in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, if those that are perishing are blinded, they're blinded by the God of this world. And all we do is look into this world at this time of the year or Easter, and we can see that so clearly. And worse than being blind to Christ's birth, America is hostile to the idea of Christmas. You know how you know that? They don't like manger scenes. They protest manger scenes. No more Merry Christmas. Did you notice that? There's no more Merry Christmas. If you say Merry Christmas, you're called insensitive. You're insensitive to my spirituality. And I would retort to that. I would respond to that. No, I'm not insensitive to it. You're just going to hell. That's all. Because you don't understand. Christmas isn't about a holiday. It's not just a few days off from work. It's about the Christ child coming to save mankind, because we're all lost. Romans 3:11 says, there's none who seek after God. There's none righteous. No, not one. We're all come into this world. We're all born sinners, or we have the tendency to sin, and we do the nature to sin. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, because it's freedom. It's freedom from sin. It's freedom to understand the truth. And as Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. That's what Christmas is about. And they don't get it. They will, but they don't get it now. They're worse than being blind. They're hostile. Romans 8:7, the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it can't. That's why on December 25th, every year, the world tries to drown out Christmas, the real Christmas message, by inventing one that fits their dead, spiritually dead hearts. That's what Santa Claus is all about. We want to celebrate it. It's been celebrated since the third century. And by the way, it all started at Rome. I don't know if you know that or not. That's where Christmas began. And I don't know if you know this or not either. I just found this out doing some research on A.W. Pink. The Puritans never celebrated it. They considered it a pagan holiday. And there's a Bible verse that A.W. Pink quoted about we're not to celebrate pagan holidays. I don't know. I just know this, that it burns my heart to know that people out there are taking something that has a spiritual implication and twisting it into something that makes that turns it into a holiday. And it has nothing to do with that at all. And even worse than that, they claim to have the Christmas spirit. Do you got this? They claim to have that, but they deny the Christ in Christmas. They deny it. They refuse, or they have no idea that Christmas means Christ's Mass. It's two words they put together as one. It means a festival or a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. That's the actual meaning of the word. And yet, even though they don't understand or they don't believe in Christ being coming as a savior of mankind, they claim all the benefits, don't they? They have no problem claiming the benefits of love, joy, peace, hope, goodwill toward men. Don't they sing the song? You hear it everywhere. They claim it, but they don't understand it. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue about the spiritual meaning of those words. Love, peace, joy, and goodwill toward men. They have no clue. And you want proof of that? Go to the internet or turn on TV, and you won't see any of that in what's going on in the world around us. That's the counterfeit Christian most, counterfeit Christmas most Americans will celebrate in a couple of days. It's about man honoring man. It's about rejecting Christ and celebrating man's goodness. You're good. I'm going to give you gifts. Santa Claus will give you gifts because you're good. And coal if you're not good, or wood, whatever it is. And unfortunately, without knowing Jesus Christ, they will never experience real, genuine love, joy, peace, and hope. They'll never understand what it means. They'll have a carnal idea of it, but they'll never get the true meaning of those words. But for us, for children of God, his elect, Christmas has an altogether different meaning. We're living in a different world when we celebrate Christmas, aren't we? To us, our text gives us the real meaning of Christmas. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Every single one of you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior should celebrate Christmas every day, because your salvation is an everyday event. And every single day of your life, you should realize that he set his glory aside, stepped off his throne in heaven, set his glory aside, took on the rags of a human being, lower than his angels that served him in heaven, and committed himself to being formed in the fashion of a man, being born a babe, and then growing up and having a ministry for 3 years and being willing to even die so that you and I could be sitting here and hopefully at home celebrating and worshiping what he did. He saved us. He saved us from things we can't even imagine. Salvation, that's what Christmas is all about. That's the purpose of Christmas. It's about God loving man enough, loving him enough to send his son into the world to save us. From what? Save us from ourselves, our flesh. Save us from the world, the influences of evil. But most of all, is save us from the eternal lake of fire. That's what he came for. He took our punishment that we wouldn't have to do it. He satisfied God's wrath for Angel, for Mary, for Brian, for Wink. He satisfied it completely, even before we were ever in existence. It was paid for. That's why Hebrews 1, I think it's 1:13 says, talking about angels, are they not ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation? It's in the future tense, which means that when every saint is born, God issues sends angels to watch over them, to deliver them from many, many things. And all of you sitting here could probably give a testimony of how before you were a Christian, this happened and that happened, and I made it through. God was going to get you through because he called you. He called you to be his child. Salvation, that's what Christmas is all about. It's about God loving you and I more than he loved his son, because he sent his son to take our place. He was our substitute. It's also about eternal life for all who believe in the Christ child. John 3:36, whoever believes in his son has eternal life. And believing in the Son doesn't mean, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven, that's great. No, it means calling on Christ, believing in him, and then taking his word, studying it, reading it, and applying it to your life every day. It means being changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that in Christ you are a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. That means you have new influences in your life. You have more different priorities in your life. That's what Christmas is about. It's about a change in us. And that babe who grew into a man made the sacrifice that allows us to have that power, that change that we have in our life. That's what the festival of Christmas is all about. And if we look at the core of our text, we see the purpose of Christmas. Jesus came into our life to save sinners. That teaches us he came in here to bring us salvation / spiritual life. Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And it simply means that all of us commit sin. There's none righteous, no, not one, as I said before. And so because we commit sin, we need to have our sin debt taken care of before we can have any peace in our life with God. So Jesus came to save sinners. And he says, of whom I'm the chief. Well, he probably could get an argument from some brothers and sisters who would think the same thing. But the fact of the matter is, that's what the purpose of Christmas was, to present a Lamb of God, a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, so that we, as his children, as his elect children, would be called, and our sin debt would be paid in full. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus was a holy sacrificial gift, wrapped in swaddling clothing, and given to the world by God to pay our sin debt. And every single person who calls upon God to be saved, God will never turn them away. Romans 10:13 says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, if you're listening to this, have you done that? Have you called on Christ to save you? Are you a professing Christian or a practicing Christian? Makes all the difference between heaven and hell. If you're a professing Christian, that doesn't mean that you, and that means you're not living for Christ the way you should be, then you need to call on him to save you. Your religion and your profession of faith is in your mind, it's not in your heart. And you know that. You know whether you're living for Christ or not. You know whether you have the power of God. And how do you know that specifically? Because the things of God interest you. Because I want to learn more about God. I want to draw closer to him. And when I sin, I hate it. I hate the fact that I offend somebody, a person that loves me so much that he was willing to die for me. And I don't want to enjoy anything that Christ died to keep me away from. I don't want to do that either. Is that you? Do you feel that way about your faith? That you're living for Jesus as best you can every day and you're not just deceiving yourself? Have you called on him to forgive your sins, really? And have you given them over to him? Have you cried out, Jesus, save me? I'm a sinner. I need your help. I can't do it without you. I don't want to live without you. That's somebody who's crying out to be saved. And if that's you, that's all you have to do. Is you do it here on, if you're online, wherever you're sitting, or here. All you have to do is tell Jesus Christ how sorry you are for what you did, how you offended him. You don't have to go through the list right now. That you offended him and you know that, and that you want him to forgive you, and that you're so sorry you want to repent of it. I want to turn away from that. I don't want to do that again. I don't want that old lifestyle. I want to live for you. If you do that, he'll accept that. And then all you have to do after that is pick up your Bible, start reading the Gospel of John, and try your best every day to put everything you learn in the Bible in your life. That's salvation 101. And if you have any questions about that, you see me or call me after the service, and I'll be more than happy to talk with you about how you can celebrate Christmas, not as a pagan holiday, but as a spiritual high watermark of your faith. In addition to salvation, at Christmas, we celebrate the spiritual gifts Christ child gave us. You know, when we think of Christmas, we think of our salvation, but you know what? Our salvation is more. Our salvation is like, it's like saying car. It doesn't say much. You get the idea of what it is, but within that blanket, within that word, there are so many other things that are blessed, that are a blessing to us. I'm just going to pick a few of them out. First of all, God's love. You know, a lot of people say God loves me, but is that true? How do we know God loves somebody? We have to first love him, don't we? He has to love us, but we have to love him. And how does he say we love him? John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. That's our love to him. If he's given his love to you, and it's in your heart, then you will give him love because it's in your heart to do it. And then he loves you. He loves you forever and ever and ever. You know why? Because he loved us eternally. You know what he told Jeremiah in 31:3? He said to him, the Lord has appeared to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. When God calls you, he calls you out of love. You are one of his elect, as Ephesians 1:4 says, chosen in him before the worlds were formed. And he loves you. That never changes. And when he saves you, you see that love and you respond to it, because in Romans, it talks about that God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. So we have his love in us. So it's natural for us to want to love. Are you doing that? Are we loving the way God wants us to love? That's very important. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says also, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. That's the kind of love he has. When you look at a cross that's empty, like this one behind me, that's the greatest symbol of love and forgiveness you'll ever see. That's true love. And all of you who know Christ have accepted that love and are living in that love and are sharing that love. That's what Christmas is about. It's about love and forgiveness. And it's about God's love specifically for you so much that he was willing to sacrifice everything he had. Did he give you his son? Yep. Did he give you his word? Yep. Did he make you joint heirs with his son in his kingdom? Yeah. So he gave you everything he had. Metaphorically speaking, God has made his children his inheritance and given them everything that he has. How about joy? Isn't that another gift that comes from the manger? The gift of joy? We're gifted with Christ's joy, not just joy. Christ's joy, John 15, 11. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Do you have Christ's joy in you? You know why I'm asking you all of this? Because you need to understand that's what should be motivating you. God's love for you, God's salvation for you, God's joy for you. All of it should be motivating you to have a Christmas that really resounds to the glory of God, because that's what it's really about. Why are we joyful? Besides salvation, we're joyful because now you have a living connection with God. You're truly connected to God. I can't tell you in the years, and you all have probably heard people, oh, I have a great relationship with God. I talk to him all the time. I pray to him all the time. Of course they do. Religion is in every man's heart, but are they praying and are they talking to the God of Scripture? That's the difference. The God of Scripture is the only God. And the Bible says that the prayers are the sacrifices that the Gentiles offer, they offer to devils. They don't offer to God. When you pray, or we pray as a family, or you pray individually, you're speaking to the creator of the universe. You're his daughter or his son, and he's listening to you. He loves you. His eyes never come off you. He orders your steps. That's how much he loves you. And all of that should bring so much joy into your life. We're joyful because we're adopted members. We're joyful because God is for us. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who's going to be against us? We're joyful because everything in your life works out. If I only had Romans 8:28, I could live with that. All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. I could live with that. That brings joy to my heart. When you have the world, it seems like your whole life is upside down and you're having a love affair with God. Even then you have a love affair with God. Lord, help me straighten out my world. The whole reason he turned your life upside down was to make you see things in a different way. Of course he's going to help you. You're here now, and look at all the things you've been through already. And the beauty of that is it's all going to work out for your good. It's going to be on your ledger in heaven. By faith, they trusted in you, Jesus. By faith, I walked in your word, Father. And we're also joyful. You should also be joyful that you're not going into the lake of fire. That's a real place. I know people say that. I've heard, I can't tell you how many people say that. Well, you know, that's just a metaphor for God's not pleased with you. He's not pleased with you, but it's not a metaphor. It's a real place. It's as real as the heart beating in your chest. We're not going there. Jesus said in John 14, 2 and 3, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's room are many mansions, right, David? I go to prepare a place for you. And that where I am, you will be too. Man, if that doesn't make your heart joyful, what is it? And you're not going to the lake of fire. How about hope? Love, joy, hope. That's another Christmas gift we get from the manger of Jesus Christ. What do you hope for? What is hope? Bible, what does the Bible say hope is? Things unseen. You have hope in God's plan for your life. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, Jeremiah 29, 11 says, I know my plans for you. They are for good, to give you a future and a hope. Do you hope in God's plans for your life? Do you see yourself walking that path that he's put in your life? Whether it's Ian or whether it's Tom or whether it's Linda, they all have a path they're walking, and they're going to walk it until God calls them home. Why? Because he called them into his kingdom. They're his children. He's going to take care of them. And in the process between the time he calls them into their life, or actually from the time they're born until the time he calls them home, he's ordaining their life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Our steps are ordered by God. And we're just walking in it. We make our choices. But you have to understand, God is omniscient. He knew every single step that Tom Pettit would ever make. He knew it. You know why? Because he put everything in Tom's life that he wanted Tom to have. And right now, Tom is exactly where God wants him to be. All of us are where he wants us to be. And that might sound strange because some of us may not think where we are where we should be, but you are. Every single day, he's drawing you closer and closer to him. Every day. You're walking in his word. Maybe not all the time. You're going left, you're going right, but you're always in his word, and he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you, and he's never going to let you get so far away that you don't come back. He's never going to do that. He'll take you to the woodshed. He'll teach you a lesson, and then you'll come back on your own accord. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 71, it is good that I've been afflicted, that I might know your word. That's what that means. It's wonderful stuff. These are the reasons we should have love, joy, and hope, because all of those things belong to us. They're real. They're not just words. This isn't just a spiritual setting. I could tell you this, and we could be in that parking lot, and it wouldn't make any difference. It's as real there as it is here. This is just the building we do it in because it's warm. You are the church. You are the inheritance of God. That's what Christmas is about. Making sure that God had an inheritance in the whole world, not just in Israel. And you have, and he gives you hope as another one of the gifts for Christmas. And how about his resurrection? Do you fear death? You shouldn't fear death. You already died. Did you not die in Christ? Doesn't Romans say that we died in Christ, and if we died with Christ, we're going to be resurrected with Christ? Is that what it means? Yeah. I have hope in my resurrection. I've told that to people. People say, well, aren't you worried about the nuclear bombs that are going to be falling? No, I'm not worried. Well, don't you think it'll kill you? No, they can't kill me. What? No, they can't kill me. I'm already dead. I died to myself. I don't care about the flesh. I want to get rid of the flesh. And God's timing, of course, but because I want to be in heaven, because this is not my home. I'm traveling through. I'm at a Motel 6, if you will, a low grade one. Very low grade. It's in a bad neighborhood, America. So the point I'm trying to make by telling you that is, if you believe these things, you have the faith to believe. All you have to do is adopt them. You have to believe them enough to live them, so that when things happen to you, you can fall upon your hope. You can get your joy so that you're able to share things with other people. I know so many people at this time of the year, my neighbors, my friends, I know people that are in terrible need. Some people at 9 degrees are keeping their thermostat at 50. Because they don't have the money for oil. But as long as I have money, I'm going to see that they have oil. Why? That's my job. Love them. Love everybody. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's the rule. That's not a suggestion. It's the commandment. Love your neighbor. That's why Christ came. Can you imagine what this world would be like if Jesus Christ did not come? Think about that. Do you not realize that when Jesus Christ came in his ministry after Christ or before Christ, there was no soup kitchens, there were no hospitals, there was only pain, suffering, and death. And then those people died and they ended up in hell because they didn't know Christ. Christ made everything in this world change. He changed the whole world. People say, well, Trump does this. Trump is poppycock compared to Jesus Christ. He's not even worth mentioning. The changes in our life because that babe was born. And it's been that way for over 2,000 years. And although the world wanes and wavers back and forth between rights being good and being bad, war and peace, all of that, Jesus Christ is immutable. He never changes. It's always the same. And it's in you. It's for you, and you are in him, so you have all these things. And I guess my question to you is, are you unwrapping these gifts in your life? Love, joy, hope. How much of those gifts have you opened up? How much have you applied to yourself and then taken what you've learned in his love and shared it with somebody else? That's what Christmas is. Jesus shared his life with each and every one of his people. And did he not go out in his ministry? And did he not heal, I'll say for the lack of knowledge, hundreds of people that were blind, lame, or had leprosy, or were infested with demons? Did he not do that? And they weren't even saved. Does not the rain fall on the just and the unjust? Is there not a common grace to keep men sane? That's how much he loves you. You and I are very special people because he has put his bond of love in our heart. He's given us joy in our heart. He's given us hope, not just for eternally. I have hope in every one of Jesus Christ's promises. Every promise in this book, I know that for me, all of them that I can use. And that gives me hope. And what a Christmas present that is. What can another human being give you that Jesus Christ hasn't given you with his life? What can he give you? Nothing. You have it all. Anything you get other than that is just really, it's just really an accent, a little dressing. But you have every benefit in heaven. What does the Bible say in Ephesians 1:3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all blessings in heavenly places. I have it all. And what does it say in Psalm 16:11? At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. How do you have more than that? That's the hope we have. And lastly, peace. That's something that's so sorely missing in the world. It's just pathetic. We're gifted with Christ's peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says that, through Jesus Christ. We have peace to enter God's throne room, Ephesians 2:8. And we have perfect peace in Christ. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I want to explain this about the gift of peace. The gift of peace comes in two forms. The first is when you get saved. That's peace. That's the peace that all Christians have. All believing Christians have that peace. Why? Because God's love's in our heart. We know that he loves us. We know that he's taking care of us. We know we're going to be in heaven with him. That's a general peace. But there's another peace above that. It's that peace that passes all understanding. And that peace comes in only when we walk with God and we make him the primary event in our life. That's when that peace kicks in. And when that peace kicks in, that means that you've reached a walk with God that pleases him. But most of all, you'll notice that your walk with God, you see more of why you're walking with him from where you were. You'll see yourself, even as a Christian, how I look at some of the things that I wrote years ago, and I look at them now, and it's like, I can't believe I wrote them. How about you? When you look at the Bible, have you grown? Don't we grow with Scripture? Don't we grow in Christ? And if we grow in Christ, don't we look back once in a while and we say, oh, wow, that was wonderful, but look at it now. I see it altogether different. I want you to see Christmas as love, joy, hope, salvation first. That's what it is. But all those other things, love, joy, peace, and hope, that's a Christmas present you have every day. Every single day you have that. You can take all the presents people give you. You're going to unwrap them, throw the paper away, whatever you do, and then you're going to take that present, and what are you going to do with it? You're going to use it, keep it, hang it up, look at it, put it away. What are you going to do with it in 2 years? Maybe use it, maybe not. Maybe it will be gone. What are you going to do with your salvation, love, hope, joy, and peace? What are you going to do with that? That's there forever. All that you have to do is you have to just apply it to your life. Those are Christmas presents that never go away. Those are Christmas presents that should bring joy, happiness, love, and hope into your life. And you know why that's so important, that you understand how important it is to hold on to those things every day. You know how? Because God wants you to share those with other people. And you can't do it if you forget about them. You can't do them if you keep them to yourself. Love, joy, hope, and peace. Share that. Share that with everybody you can. That's what Christmas is really about. Giving, not receiving.